My brothers and sisters in the Lord, there's a little story about three sisters. They were never married, and so they always lived together. Their ages were 92, 94, and 96. And so one day, the eldest sister, who was 96, she was upstairs in the main bathroom running the water for her bath. And then she had a senior moment. She couldn't remember if she was going to get ready to take a bath or she had just finished taking a bath. So she called downstairs to her younger sisters to come and help her out to figure out this dilemma. And so the one that was 94 said, "I'll be up in a minute." And so she went up the stairs and she got about halfway up the stairs. And she yelled out to her youngest sister in the kitchen, "Was I going up the stairs or coming down the stairs?" And the youngest sister was just laughing, having her cup of coffee, laughing so hard she hit the coffee on the table. And she said to both of her sisters, "I'll be up there in a moment to figure all this out for you. Just give me a second to answer who's knocking at the door." My brothers and sisters, sometimes we have our senior moments. And sometimes maybe it's not because of our age, but sometimes maybe it's because we choose not to hear or we choose not to see. Because you see, my brothers and sisters, in the parable that Jesus tells today, he is addressing all of us, and oftentimes, when we hear this scripture passage, many people say, "Well, that really doesn't apply to me, Father, because I'm really not quote-unquote rich. I'm only middle class. I'm only able to pay the bills. I'm only scraping by," whatever the terminology we may use. But it's important for us to understand, my brothers and sisters, that Jesus is speaking to every single one of us. Because notice how he starts the parable. "Take care to guard against all greed, for though one may be rich, one's life does not consist of possessions." You see, my brothers and sisters, Jesus is not speaking here about the quantity of possessions. He is getting to the heart of the matter, and the bigger question that he is addressing is this: what is our attitude towards our possessions, however few or however many they may be? Do our possessions possess us? Or do we use those things because they were given to us by God as gifts from him? We notice how Jesus ends the parable. "Thus it will be for all who store up treasures for themselves but are not rich in what matters to God." My friends, in the course of 9 years, I have done a lot of funerals, and I've never seen a U-Haul follow a hearse. It all stays here. And so the question is, what is our attitude towards the things that we have, the things that we possess, or do they in reality possess us? And we have to remember a few things. First, my brothers and sisters, is this: any single one of us can have a greedy spirit, a covetous spirit. In fact, many times it's those who are not quote-unquote rich that suffer with this the most. Because we watch television and we say to ourselves, "If I won the lottery, or if I won the Powerball, I would do this and I would do that and I would go on this vacation, etc." Or if I had all those things that I see on television these days. Or years ago, the famous show, Lifestyles of the Rich and Famous. Champagne wishes and caviar dreams. Any of us can fall into that temptation. The spirit of greed or the spirit of covetousness. To want something, my brothers and sisters, so bad that we lose sight of the real reason, the mission, the vocation God has given us. And we also have to remember, my friends, that value in life is not measured by material things. And that is contradictory to the message of the world. It's contradictory to what we see on television and at the movies and in newspapers and other articles. You know, it's like the husband who was very wealthy and said to his wife, "Will you still love me if I were poor?" And she just smiled as she ate her steak and said, "I'll miss you, but I'll still love you." Sometimes we measure things in our lives based upon material possessions, and we don't get to the heart of the matter. So how do we ensure, my brothers and sisters, that we have the right priority in our life when it comes to our material possessions? Some questions just to think about that I jotted down this week. One is this: where do I place my security? Think about it, my friends. When the going gets tough, when the trials get hard, when things look dark, where do I place my security? Do I place my security in God, or do I place my security in the things of the world? That's what the parable is about. The man had a very wonderful, generous year. His land produced an abundance of crops, and he had a decision to make. What am I going to do with this abundance? His decision: I'm going to build a bigger barn so I can put all this in, and then I can eat, drink, and be merry. You see, he placed his security in material things. And when his life was demanded of him, as the parable ends, when it was time to give an accounting, all those material things, my brothers and sisters, they fade away very fast. And that's what we look at our lives. Where do we place our trust? Where do we place our security each and every day? Because you see, for the man in the parable, the barns actually became a temple. For him, the barns were a church. They were a house of worship. They were his temple. That's what he worshiped. That was most important to him. And so when we examine our own lives, when we think of our material possessions, however many they may be or however few they may be, do we place our trust in them? Are they our temple? Do we worship them? Or do we place our security and our trust in God? Another question: why do I want more? Have you ever thought about that? Why do I want more? And all of us fall into that. You know, we sit at the television and they have all these commercials of all the wonderful things we can buy. Oh, I want that and I want that. I'm not a QVC shopper, but some people fall into that trap where they're ordering all of these things off of the television because it's such a great deal. Why do we want more? Is it because of our ego? Read the parable again tonight. Notice how many times the man in the parable uses the word I. 6 times. What will I do? I will build bigger barns. It was all about him and not about God. Why do we want so much more? Another question to look at: what would I like to be remembered by? What would I like to be remembered by? The amount of wealth I have accumulated? The prestige and honors that I have? Or do I want to be remembered as a disciple of the Lord Jesus? One who washed feet. One who took care of those who were in need, who supported the work and ministry of the church, those individuals, my brothers and sisters, that are true-fledged disciples. What do you and I want to be remembered for? Do we want to be remembered because we want our name put on a plaque on a building? I've always said that. I have no desire ever to have a building named after me. And I know you say, Father Cooper, you'll never have a building named after you. But I have no desire for that. That's not what it's about. It's about being the disciple. It's about putting everything that we have and everything that we are in the service of God. What do you and I want to be remembered for? And finally, my friends, as we look at the questions, the final one is the most important. Am I rich in the things that matter in the eyes of God? When we look at our lives, am I rich in those things that matter most to God? In being the disciple, in the importance of life, in the importance of faith, and the importance of family, and the importance of taking care of our neighbor, and the importance of worshiping and loving God above all things? Am I rich in the things that matter to God? Or am I really more concerned with the things of the world? You see, my friends, in answering those smaller questions, it will determine the bigger question of the parable. What are our attitudes toward our wealth or our possessions? Do they possess us, or do we possess them? Someone told me interestingly, not long ago, there's two ways to think about our wealth or our money or our income, depending on whatever term you want to use. The person said this: we can say to ourselves, how much of my income or my wealth am I going to give to God? Or the other way to think about it is this: how much of the gifts that God has given to me in my wealth am I going to give to myself? And there's a big difference, my friends. It goes back to the ego. Do we recognize all that we have is a gift from God? And the call in the gift is, oh, do we use it as a tool to continue the proclamation of the gospel, to love God above all things, and to love our neighbor as ourselves? In the end, my friends, let us not allow ourselves to have such a narrow vision that we don't even hear the parable. But let us recognize that all of us must examine our lives and ask ourselves, how do we see our possessions? And do we use them as a means, as a tool given to us by God in order to further the kingdom? For you see, my friends, when the proclamation of the gospel goes out, there's no time for a senior moment. Those who have ears ought to hear. Because on the last day, as the parable once again ends, are we rich in what matters to God? And if we're not, then today is the day to begin to examine our priorities and ask the Lord for the grace to change our hearts so that we may be better disciples, better followers of the Lord Jesus. And so, my dear friends, let us...